But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some good news about the Epstein files. Move on to all the drama regarding illegal orders. And follow all of that up with Donnie showing off his new digs to his biggest foreign business investor. Let's begin, shall we? For housekeeping purposes, we here at This Week Again will be taking the week of Thanksgiving off, because if we don't, who will? However, do not despair, because the show will be returning to regularly scheduled programming on December 7th.
And now for something completely different.
And so it came to be that despite the 43 days of shutdown orchestrated by the littlest Johnson to ever speak for the House of Reps, they finally voted to release all of the Epstein files. And every single member of the House voted to release them, except for one guy named Clay Higgins from Louisiana, who said he was protecting the innocent people named in the files who would be hurt by the rabid media. Sounds to me like someone microwaved a corn dog while wearing their tinfoiled hat again. Clay might want to have that checked out at Walter Reed while he's got taxpayer-funded health care, since he's not seeking re-election in 2026. And ain't it always the way that cowards get brave when there's nothing left to lose? Bless his heart. But I digress, because when the discharge petition passed the House and moved to the Senate, it was instantly passed there too, thanks to the minority leader Schumer's preemptive unanimous consent vote that literally no one in the Senate objected to, because...
From now on, we're doing this our way. Fair is fair. We didn't start this, we didn't mean it to happen, but we're not giving up till you pay. Fair is fair!
And while all of this was happening inside the Capitol, outside, there was a bunch of Epstein survivors speaking for a second time to a crowd of supporters and news cameras.
I beg you, President Trump, please stop making this political. Show some class. Show some real leadership. Show that you actually care about the people other than yourself. But your behavior on this issue has been a national embarrassment.
You lose all credibility when you go back on your promises to the American people and the survivors that you campaigned on in 2024. You lose all credibility when you play the flip-flop game and you start intimidating people in your own party like Thomas Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene that are on the right side of things.
And to the President of the United States of America, who is not here today, I want to send a clear message to you. While I do understand that your position has changed on the Epstein files, and I'm grateful that you have pledged to sign this bill, I can't help to be skeptical of what the agenda is. I want to relay this message to you. I am traumatized. I am not stupid.
The Epstein files are not about loyalty to any one political party. They are evidence of a crime.
This is not a hoax, and we will not be erased. Shame on any elected official who obstructs truth and justice for the American people.
Alone, yes, we are afraid. But together, we are feared.
The survivors that don't want to be public are Jane Doe's. They've been protected, and their names have been redacted this whole time as Jane Doe's.
What we endured was real, and it has scarred lives across five presidential administrations.
That's why we stand here today, to demand justice and accountability, not just for Epstein and his crimes, but for every predator and every enabler who participates in or protects abusers.
Did you travel to Mar-a-Lago?
Yes, I did.
And how did you arrive at Mar-a-Lago? How did you end up going to Mar-a-Lago? Did he send you there? Were you told to go there? How did that happen?
There were a lot of model parties at the Mar-a-Lago. Different people would set them up, different magazines, and a limo would come and you'd jump in the limo and you'd go.
Are these people when the list is released, that people would know. Are they people who are famous in some capacity?
Yes.
And are there names out there that have not been out there yet?
Yes.
That you were trafficked to?
There's names of people that are out there that are not on the list.
And today we stand in a moment that will decide whether our government still belongs to the American people or to those who prey on them. Because when mountains of evidence and decades of victim reports across five administrations still lead to sweetheart deals or no prosecution at all, this isn't just one case gone wrong. It's an institutional failure on a historic scale, and every member of Congress in this administration must answer for that failure.
Well, the girls came out swinging, and Congress finally put their foot down. Because if there's anything the United States government will not stand for, it's the rich and powerful trafficking and fucking children. Which is why the Fanta Fondler signed the Epstein Files Transparency Act when no one was looking. And with a catch.
Usually when Donald Trump has some kind of accomplishment, he's not shy about talking about it in front of the cameras. And yet something weird happened today. He has a new piece of legislation, the subject of tremendous interest. It passed by massive bipartisan majorities unanimously in the Senate, only one no vote in the House. He didn't want to do the bill signing in public. He retreated to somewhere in the White House where he issued a very long screed on social media railing against the Democrats, talking about Hall's accomplishments, calling it a witch hunt that's been divisive, and that this latest hoax will backfire on the Democrats just as all the rest have.
Trump on Sunday night wrote on True Social, House Republicans should vote to release the Epstein files. Then in the Oval Office on Monday, Trump doubled down when asked if he wanted the files released and said he'd sign the bill if it comes to his desk.
We'll give them everything. Sure I would.
Legal experts interviewed by MS Now cautioned that there's a catch. Trump only encouraged House Republicans to vote for the release of the Epstein files after he directed AG Pam Bondi on Friday to open an investigation into several prominent Democratic figures' relationships with Epstein.
The Justice Department now has 30 days to release material, although the law makes some exceptions when it comes to victims' privacy. The Attorney General can also withhold certain information that would jeopardize an ongoing investigation, which includes the one the president just ordered to look into what he says are Democrats' connections to the late sex offender.
It's how do they apply the redactions to the bill? Because in the bill, you could redact classified information, or you could redact information about ongoing investigations. The problem is how they apply it, and do they over-redact? There's also a 30-day timeline here where the information is supposed to be released in some capacity. What monkey business do they get up to so that they can prevent all this information from coming out?
You know, that is a very good question, and I'm pretty sure Pick Me Bondi just answered it for you during her last appearance in front of the press with Gonzo Patel standing by her side, never blinking once during the entire 20 or something minute long event.
Does the new investigation by the Southern District of New York U.S. Attorney prevent the department from releasing all of the remaining files?
So we have released over 33,000 Epstein documents to the Hill, and we'll continue to follow the law and to have maximum transparency. Also, we will always encourage all victims to come forward.
Yeah. When you say follow the law, Madam Attorney General, do you mean that you will provide all the files by 30 days?
We will continue to follow the law, again, while protecting victims, but also providing maximum transparency.
Madam Attorney General, the DOJ statement earlier this year saying that the files would not release mentioned the fact that the review of the documents and the evidence did not suggest that any additional investigation of third parties was warranted. What changed since then that you launched this investigation?
Information that has come for information. There's information that new information, additional information. And again, we will continue to follow the law to investigate any leads. If there are any victims, we encourage all victims to come forward. And we will continue to provide maximum transparency under the law.
public isn't buying it. Those are two things this Department of Justice is not known for, even among Republicans. Again, if Pam Bondi wanted transparency when it comes to the Epstein material, she could have released the files instead of publishing an unsigned memo that said she wasn't gonna, that sought to sweep the whole thing under the rug. Comments like her comments today, though, are part of a pattern by Team Trump that suggests anything but maximum transparency, from that unsigned memo back in July to the shifting explanations for why Epstein and Trump had a falling out, to the preferential treatment the Trump administration has given to Epstein's accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Damn, Pammy. Someone on your team needs to tell you that repeating a lie every time you're asked a question isn't going to make it any more true and just makes you sound dumber than you already do. Which in itself is impressive because that bitch is constantly giving the impotent rage of an aging woman who just realized everyone around her is secretly wondering why they know so many fifth graders who are smarter than her. Especially congressional Dems who are already privy to the shenanigans afoot.
What's clear for me is that Donald Trump from day one has not wanted to release these files. That was true yesterday, and it's true today, regardless of his public position. So absolutely, we should be prepared to understand that the DOJ is still going to continue to take their orders directly from the president and his desire to keep much of this information hidden from the public. We have to watch this investigation that the DOJ is launching into apparently political enemies of the president, Democrats that he wants to target, that he feels are in the files. That investigation, we believe, is going to be used as a way for the DOJ to then keep important information and documents from the American public, the Congress, and our committee. The Epstein Estate is working with us to get us additional documents, and more are coming that will move our investigation forward. We are going to get to the truth. It becomes more clear every day. And whether Donald Trump wants it or not, we're going to get all of those files released.
And on behalf of myself, I thank you, Congressman Robert Garcia, for pointing out the fact that we've got to keep our eyes on these motherfuckers. Because I don't know about you, but I've got questions. Questions like, how did a douche from New York become the owner of the biggest sex trafficking of minors operation in the history of this country, spanning decades, involving the rich and powerful from all over the world, and just so happened to be besties for decades with a guy who hosted pageant parties for underage girls at his own country club? An industry that just so happened to pair perfectly with talent agencies that are really shell companies, the kind of corporate bullshit Epstein was using to launder payments for privileges on his island or at his house. I mean, no wonder the grand old pedophile protecting party is trying desperately to control the narrative after having to come clean about their good old pal Jeff.
What I just don't want Epstein to do is detract from the great success of the Republican Party. But don't talk about it too much because honestly, I don't want to take it away from us. It's really a Democrat problem.
It was President Trump that banned Epstein from Mar-a-Lago. And you can see in the emails, the Epstein emails, that he's clearly targeting President Trump as retribution for him being a good man.
National security concerns, okay? The discharge requires the Attorney General to release within 30 days, quote, classified information to the maximum extent possible. This ignores the principle that declassification should always rest and always has rested with the agency that originated the intelligence. Why? So that they can protect their critical sources and methods. It is incredibly dangerous to demand that officials or employees of the DOJ declassify materials that originated in other agencies, in intelligence agencies.
Your thoughts about this Washington Post report, its text messaging appearing to be between Epstein and Congresswoman Plaskett during the hearing in 2019 in February, in real time, what appears to be influencing the questioning by the representative Plaskett. Your thoughts, and is this concerning?
Well, just the fact that Epstein's been dead for years, and this is the topic of conversation. Let's move on and solve the real problems at hand. That's my focus.
Democrats have been mentioned again in what has been released so far. What if there are more names connected to the Democratic Party that come out as a result of this?
So what?
Yeah, so fucking what? Unlike the right wing, Dems aren't interested in hiding the truth because some of our own may be involved. We're just ready to arrest a Democrat as much as a Republican because there is no tolerance for sexually abusing children. No cap, dead ass. Because I know this is hard for the poorly educated to wrap their one brain cell around. Let me put it into terms that you could understand. Here's Georgia's own Jewish space laser expert to explain it to you.
I only take people's actions seriously. No longer words. I was called a traitor by a man that I fought for 6 years for. And I gave him my loyalty for free, and he called me a traitor for standing with these women and refusing to take my name off the discharge petition. This only became possible today because the American people demanded that this vote happen, and they put more pressure on every single elected politician in this city than has ever been put on them. But the real test will the Department of Justice release the files, or will it all remain tied up in investigations?
You posted on X that President Trump is, with his comments, fueling a, quote, hotbed of threats against you. We have seen these kinds of attacks or criticism from the president at other people. It's not new. And with respect, I haven't heard you speak out about it until it was directed at you.
Dana, I think that's fair criticism. And I would like to say humbly, I'm sorry for taking part in the toxic politics.
Just to put a button on this, you regret the things that you have said and posted in the past.
I think America needs to come together and end all the toxic, dangerous rhetoric and divide.
Holy, what the fuck is happening with the butch body from Georgia? Did she hit her head or something? Because that woman keeps making more and more sense the more she keeps talking. And I am genuinely disturbed by these series of events. But apparently not more than the maddest Marge of the Peaches, who stood on business with the Epstein survivors on a Tuesday and was so disgusted with the way that she was treated by her dear leader, she quit her fucking job by Friday.
I ran for Congress in 2020 and have fought every single day believing that Make America Great Again meant America First. Many common Americans are no longer easily convinced by paid political propaganda spokespersons and consultants on TV and paid shills on social media obediently serving with cult-like conviction to force others to swallow the political party talking points. Because they know how much credit card debt they have, they know how much their bills have gone up over the past 5 years. They actually do their own grocery shopping and know food costs too much. Their rent has increasingly gone up and up. They have been outbid by corporate asset managers too many times when they put in an offer to buy a house. They have been laid off after being forced to train their visa holding replacement. The college degree they were told to earn only left them in debt with no big six-figure salary. They see more homeless people than ever on their own community streets. They can't afford health insurance or practically any insurance, and they just aren't stupid. I have fought harder than almost any other elected Republican to elect Donald Trump and Republicans to power. I traveled the country for years. I spent millions of my own money. I missed precious time with my family that I can never get back. And I showed up in places like outside the New York courthouse in Collect Pond Park against a raging leftist mob as Trump faced Democrat lawfare. Meanwhile, most of the establishment Republicans who secretly hate him and who stabbed him in the back and never defended him against anything have all been welcomed in right after the election. Loyalty should be a two-way street, and we should be able to vote our conscience and represent our district's interests because our job title is literally representative. Standing up for American women who were raped at 14 years old, trafficked and used by rich, powerful men, should not result in me being called a traitor and threatened by the President of the United States, whom I fought for. I have too much self-respect and dignity. I love my family way too much, and I do not want my sweet district to have to endure a hurtful and hateful primary against me by the president that we all fought for, only to fight and win my election while Republicans will likely lose the midterms, and in turn, be expected to defend the president against impeachment after he hatefully dumped tens of millions of dollars against me and tried to destroy me.
Mads, please tell us how you really feel. Because I'm sure it's got to be hard when your very own George Glass betrays you in front of everyone and you're expected to show up to work like nothing happened. When all the guys in the party for traditional values are telling you, a woman, to sit down and do as you're told. Shocking, I know. But hey, at least you won't be asked to obey any more illegal orders like active service members have been apparently worried about ever since Invasion Dawn started killing people in boats for apparently no reason.
Over the past many months, calls to nonpartisan outside legal counsel by military service members have increased, with service members increasingly asking outside legal counsel over whether or not they can follow certain orders handed down by the President of the United States and the Secretary of Defense, especially as they relate to what's happening near Venezuela and what's happening with the National Guard deployment on American soil. According to a PBS investigation, it all is kind of coming together in a way. You have service members saying that they're calling outside legal counsel, seeing whether they have to follow certain orders. Democratic lawmakers saying you don't have to follow legal orders. And why would a president be calling for the execution of someone saying don't follow legal orders if he's not going to give illegal orders?
Exactly. Soldiers who participated in what the United Nations describes as extrajudicial killings off the coast of Venezuela are quite concerned about whether or not they're going to be in trouble for obeying what is commonly referred to as illegal orders. So much so that six Democrats who served in the United States Army and intelligence agencies decided to make a video explaining to active service members that they don't have to obey illegal orders.
I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow. I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
We know you are under enormous stress and pressure right now.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad,
but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law
or our Constitution.
We know this is hard
and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you. We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
And thank you to the six brave Democrats for making that public service announcement to our brave men and women serving our country who just want to make sure they are always doing the right thing by following the law. taking their oath to the U.S. Constitution seriously when they swore to defend that 250-something-year-old piece of paper against enemies foreign and domestic, with a heavy emphasis on the domestic part. Something the Trump regime noticed fairly quickly, to the surprise of a lot of people who thought these swallowers were pretty slow, based on everything we know so far. But needless to say, maggots from Propaganda Barbie to the hippopotamus clutched their pearls like never before over the term illegal orders, a phrase they collectively had trouble articulating on camera while bitching and moaning about the entire insinuation of it all.
This morning, President Trump accused six Democratic lawmakers of seditious behavior punishable by death. Just to be clear, does the president want to execute members of Congress?
You have sitting members of the United States Congress who conspired together to orchestrate a video message to members of the United States military, encouraging them to defy the president's lawful orders, to signal to people serving under this commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, that you can defy him and you can betray your oath of office. That is a very, very dangerous message, and it perhaps is punishable by law. Every single order that is given to this United States military by this commander-in-chief and through this chain of command, through the Secretary of War, is lawful. To suggest and encourage that active duty service members defy the chain of command is a very dangerous thing for sitting members of Congress to do. And they should be held accountable. And that's what the president wants to see.
Speaker Johnson, the leader of the Republicans in the House, is also responding to this as well. When he was asked about the punishable by death part of the president's statement, he essentially said that the president was defining the crime of sedition. He then goes on to tell reporters in this exchange there on Capitol Hill that it was wildly inappropriate, talking about the video that was put out by the Democrats and that the DOJ and the Pentagon are reviewing the matter.
No, I think that is very problematic and subversive, but also it's interesting that they use no specifics. There's no specificity in it at all. It's just this broad, you don't follow illegal orders. Well, guess what? As a former active duty member of the U.S. military, that's one of the first things they teach you, is that you don't follow illegal orders. So they're being redundant as well.
They have stage 4 Trump derangement syndrome. It is inconceivable that you would have elected officials that are saying that they would defy the orders that they have been given to execute their mission.
They did not say anything illegal. They did not engage in seditious behavior. They merely said that military service members should not follow illegal orders.
Whether the Trump administration actually goes to war with Venezuela is yet to be seen. But the Trump administration wants Venezuela to think we are going to go to war with them.
And that, my friends, is why active service members are calling attorneys outside of the military to get advice about their culpability in carrying out orders that resulted in 83 extrajudicial killings in Venezuelan waters so far. Because that shit is illegal as hell. Hence why six Dems decided to clarify what our troops are obligated to do by pointing out what they can say no to. And that's illegal orders, meaning directives that violate the U.S. law and or the U.S. Constitution. Because I was just following orders didn't work in the 1940s, and it's certainly not going to work 80 years later. Especially when the geriatric in charge of them is tiny finger texting death threats all over social media.
President Trump this morning seemed to be calling for the death of some of his political opponents, their execution.
The president is angered by a Washington newspaper's report saying that some Democratic lawmakers released a video urging members of the military to ignore unlawful orders.
Democratic lawmakers who also served in the military posting this message to troops.
The 90-second video was first posted early Tuesday from Senator Alyssa Slotkin's X account. It features six lawmakers, all veterans of the armed services and intelligence community.
A group of members of Congress collaborated on a video where they made a suggestion or a reminder to military personnel that they don't have to obey unlawful orders, which is true. They don't. The president has been posting about his desire to see members of Congress killed.
So Donald Trump tweeted out 1 hour ago, seditious behavior punishable by death.
Insurrection, treason, get these people out of office. They aren't doing their jobs. They're looking for ways to be rebels. It's called seditious behavior at the highest level. Each one of these traitors to our country should be arrested and put on trial. Their words cannot be allowed to stand. We won't have a country anymore. An example must be set. And then lastly, seditious behavior punishable by death.
Donald Trump reposted someone who said, hang them, George Washington would.
So fucking what? George Washington owned 150 people by the time he was a raging teenager and used slave teeth to make dentures when he lost his own. So who fucking cares what that asshole would have done? The fact is, we're dealing with Georgie Boy and the rest of the Continental Congress's worst nightmare in the form of a jackass-o-lantern who currently is fanboying all over Zoran Mamdani, of all people. But then again, it's not surprising to see Molesty Dawn flirting with Mamdani, giggling about how it's okay for Zoran to call him a fascist, for anyone who's seen that clip of old Yemtits going on and on about Arnold Palmer during the last presidential campaign, you know? Oh, and while we're on the subject of illegal orders, I think it's totally reasonable to question the legality of anything coming out of the Trump regime, considering how much you should be regretting putting Lindsey Halligan in as U.S. attorney so she could indict James Comey. A long time wet dream of yours, I know, that this hilariously exploding all over in your face, thanks to the incompetent people in positions they were never going to be qualified for, is chef's kiss.
A federal prosecutor just admitted something super unusual.
The Justice Department responded to a bombshell revealed in the case President Trump's handpicked U.S. interim attorney Lindsey Halligan brought against former FBI Director James Comey.
So now the focus isn't the allegation itself. It's how the indictment was actually put together inside the Justice Department.
The government attorney revealed that the full grand jury never actually reviewed the final indictment. And when we learned that, the entire courtroom was stunned and silent. There were a few moments where it was so quiet, you could hear a pin drop.
The judge said the record seems to indicate there were two different charging documents in this case, one of which had a count that was disapproved by the grand jury, one of which didn't.
Interim U.S. Attorney Lindsey Halligan first presented the grand jury with one indictment that had three counts. They only indicted Comey on two of those counts. Instead of then presenting that final indictment to the grand jury again, we're learning from her exchange with the judge that it appears she just edited that first indictment and only showed it to the foreperson and then one other grand juror.
Admitted she never showed the entire grand jury the indictment it was supposed to have approved. The disclosure silenced the shocked courtroom. Comey's lawyer said the charges must be dismissed. His lawyers call the case vindictive, pointing to Trump's social media post demanding prosecution of his political enemies, writing, "We can't delay any longer." If this is not a direction to prosecute, Comey's lawyer argued, I'd really be at a loss to say what is.
James Comey's defense team in court filings before today and then again in court in Virginia today argued that the motivation for this prosecution is not a violation of the law, but that James Comey is a critic and has been a vocal critic of President Trump, and that this is a politically motivated, vindictive prosecution to silence not only Comey, but silence other criticism of the president.
Yeah, duh. Not only are the charges against Comey obviously some old bullshit revenge plot concocted in a room full of morons, but the execution of this harebrained scheme was left to the hands of a former real estate attorney who's never tried a case in her life and clearly does not know how grand juries work, probably because that topic does not come up much when you're taking your online courses on how to drive up housing costs to boost your 6% cut of the final sale. But then again, what else do you expect from a dollar store Karen who took on a case every credible attorney at the DOJ said lacked enough evidence to indict? I don't know about you, but I'd expect what happened next.
Breaking news in the case against James Comey. The judge just issued a rare demand of federal prosecutors, setting deadlines today to turn over key evidence to the defense.
This judge is saying that the government must hand over to the defense, to Comey's team, all of the grand jury material proceedings, including the audio of those proceedings. There is a disturbing pattern of a profound, basically, he says there's possible misconduct and negligence here. And he goes on to surmise that this might even be enough for the Comey defense team to be able to get this case dismissed.
Oh, Lindsay, the real estate attorney who just royally fucked up your chances of getting Comey convicted of anything. Not only was she caught lying to the court, she blatantly disobeyed legal procedures regarding grand juries in order to get her bullshit indictment through. And honestly, that's some next level shit. Gonna lose your license, end up working at a DC McDonald's, making your former bosses fillet a fish just so you can still be close to him. And that is if she isn't slapped with charges of her own when Comey's attorneys are done with her, after they get a chance to review the grand jury transcripts, not to mention the timing of it all. Now that the Department of Education has decided to go full Project 2025 by downgrading a bunch of female-dominated jobs who are no longer being considered professional.
Healthcare advocates are calling out a proposed federal rule change that would limit the amount of student loans nursing students can receive.
Department of Education is proposing new student loan guidelines that could exclude nursing as a professional degree.
The new rules would cap student loans for graduate nursing students at a little more than $20,000 per year, while students in other degree programs qualify for $50,000 each year.
And under proposed rules, those going into graduate nursing programs, PT and OT programs, a variety of other STEM healthcare-related fields would have access to only half as much student loans as, say, a medical student.
Mostly it's going to hurt public health professionals like myself, as well as nursing professionals, social workers, and people in those careers. That means degrees like MSN, DNP, MPH, me, doctorate in public health.
The U.S. Department of Education says these proposed changes were drafted to comply with President Donald Trump's budget bill, and that they would actually make student loan borrowing more sustainable.
Only if by sustainable you mean we ain't paying for your education anymore, because that's what you just did. So, according to the woman who made her millions from fake wrestling and is currently being sued for trafficking children to use them for illegal labor, while also pretending to run what's left of the Department of Education, degrees in nursing, physical therapy, education, social work, accounting, architecture, assisting physicians, or helping people with their vertigo regain their balance aren't considered professional anymore. And oopsies, since those professions are dominated by women, which may lead to the female workforce dwindling, leaving very few options outside of the trad wife aesthetic, which happens to fit perfectly with Project 2025's agenda to make as many women as possible barefoot, pregnant, and financially dependent on a man. And probably explains why Pedo 47 recently got feral with his misogyny during an in-flight hangout with the press pool.
If there's nothing incriminating in the file, sir,
Quiet.
Wow.
Quiet.
Actually, quiet editor said quiet. Piggy.
What did the president mean when he called reporter Piggy?
Look, the president is very frank and honest with everyone in this room. You've all seen it yourself. You've all experienced it yourselves. He gets frustrated with reporters when you lie about him, when you spread fake news about him and his administration. And so I think the president being frank and open and honest to your faces, rather than hiding behind your backs, is frankly a lot more respectful. I think everyone in this room should appreciate the frankness and the openness that you get from President Trump on a near daily basis.
And that load of crap was brought to you by a woman who clearly thinks verbal abuse is just part of boys being boys, which is sad when you think about it in a general, oh, that really sucks kind of way, ignoring the fact that Carol lying made her bed a long time ago. But that was back in January of 2025, and it's nearly Thanksgiving now. And that means the Trump regime is a toxic working environment where swastikas and nooses are no longer symbols of hate on the high seas. And a murderous asshole running Saudi Arabia is considered an awesome dude.
President Donald Trump welcomed the prince with a gunfire salute and an abundance of handshakes and compliments.
Extremely respected man in the Oval Office today and a friend of mine for a long time.
The meeting took place 7 years after the CIA found the Saudi leader ordered the murder of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi.
Trump responded to a question about an autocrat murdering a journalist by calling the reporter fake news and essentially defending the autocrat sitting next to him.
Mr. President, is it appropriate, Mr. President, for your family to be doing business in Saudi Arabia while you're president? Is that a conflict of interest? And Your Royal Highness, the U.S. intelligence concluded that you orchestrated the brutal murder of a journalist. 9/11 families are furious that you are here in the Oval Office. Why should Americans trust you? And the same to you, Mr. President.
Now, who are you with?
I'm with ABC News, sir.
You're with who?
ABC News, sir.
Fake news. ABC fake news. One of the worst. One of the worst in the business. But I'll answer your question.
Thank you.
I have nothing to do with the family business.
Just 24 hours earlier, before this meeting, the Trumps announced a new hotel project in the Maldives alongside a Saudi-backed real estate firm. And just earlier this year, they announced two other construction projects in the Middle East with this same Saudi-backed group.
I've known these people for a long time in Saudi Arabia, and they've been friends of mine for a long time.
Trump has also maintained a very close relationship with the governor of the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund, appearing even at a UFC fight at Madison Square Garden last year and attending an investment conference backed by the wealth fund in Miami this year.
While Trump and his family are getting all that great business from the Saudi crown prince, Trump is offering him something incredibly valuable. You see, for years now, the Saudi leader has been a pariah, shunned around the world for his tyrannical rule and human rights abuses. But now Trump isn't just eagerly welcoming the Saudi leader back onto the global stage. He is using his position as president to essentially launder the crown prince's reputation.
He's done a phenomenal job. You're mentioning somebody that was extremely controversial. A lot of people didn't like that gentleman that you're talking about. Whether you like him or didn't like him, things happen. But he knew nothing about it, and we can leave it at that. You don't have to embarrass our guest by asking a question like that.
The crown prince of Saudi Arabia, who the U.S. intelligence community just a few years ago said ordered the killing of Jamal Khashoggi, a legal permanent resident of the United States.
U.S. intelligence agencies believe that bin Salman sent a 15-man team, including 7 men from the crown prince's own personal protective detail, to ambush Khashoggi in the Saudi embassy in Istanbul, kill him, and dismember his body with a bone saw.
And what he's done is incredible in terms of human rights and everything else.
The State Department's own report on human rights in Saudi Arabia explicitly stated significant human rights issues included credible reports of arbitrary or unlawful killings, arbitrary arrest and detention, serious problems with the independence of the judiciary, and unjustified arrest or prosecutions of journalists.
At the black tie dinner party that evening, Trump designated Saudi Arabia a major non-NATO ally. A largely symbolic move, he said, was to take military cooperation between the nations to even greater heights.
Because of course he did. Schindler essentially invited one of his business investors to the White House to show off his new digs, complete with gold-sprayed designs straight out of the Home Depot collection. That investor just happens to be a murderous crown prince from a country that has a history of killing anyone they want for any reason they pull out of their house at any given time. But who the fuck cares when the tangerine running the United States is definitely going to protect business investments in Trump properties in Saudi Arabia over calling you out for what you did to a U.S. resident and a member of the American Free Press. Am I right? Well, apparently, a congressman from Virginia gives a shit, and for all the reasons I just mentioned.
Virginia Democratic Congressman Eugene Vindman announced today he's leading a group of 38 Democrats in demanding the White House release the transcript of a 2019 call between President Trump and Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Congressman Vindman served on the White House National Security Council staff during the president's first term. During his tenure, he reviewed many calls between President Trump and world leaders, including the one with President Zelensky, which ultimately led to the president's first impeachment. Now, Congressman Vindman is raising concerns about what he says is another, quote, problematic call.
And we know that the president subsequently said during, in an interview with Bob Woodward that he saved MBS's ass. We also know that the president, over the ensuing years, he and his family have benefited immensely from that relationship. And so I can tell you that the call itself was shocking. There's both in the Woodward comment, the quid, and then there's a pro quo in the massive benefits that the president and his family have reaped, and that smacks of corruption. We had already a pretty clear sense that this was an ordered kill capture operation by MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, and that the intelligence services had assessed that with high confidence, a gruesome, grisly murder in the Saudi embassy in Turkey. And so you have those comments, and then you have the stark contrast of the president really welcoming MBS with open arms and then covering for him, even to an extent that MBS himself didn't go to. And so I think that call itself would be very illuminating. Again, in my opinion, shocking and descriptive of the events that have taken place over the last several years and the benefits that the president has reaped.
Because at the end of the day, it totally tracks that Twitler would give one of his biggest investors in his shell company, real estate ventures, an ass saving when the rest of the world was like, what the fuck happened to Jamal? See, MBS not only had this man killed, but cut to fit into 5 suitcases. And at the time, in 2018, when Von Krapsenpants was president for the first time, he put out a statement entitled, Ronald Grump on Standing with Saudi Arabia, where he claims the world may never know the facts his CIA and other intelligence agencies found showing MBS ordered this man to be sliced and diced into several suitcases and even sent his own security detail to make sure it got done. But Saudi Arabia said this journalist, who was a resident of the United States at the time, working for the Washington Post, writing articles exposing MBS corruption at the time of his murder, was really a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, which made him an enemy of the state. An allegation all U.S. intelligence agencies agreed.
The law detective determined that was a lie.
Which, if you haven't caught on yet, is what Eric's dad was referring to when he said he covered MBS's ass. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday, except this next Sunday. We will be on vacation, celebrating Thanksgiving, and returning on December 7th. But you can follow me, Suzanne Pozel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms. And we are always available for your listening pleasure all over the internet, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadir for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.